is the end of it. Finished, completed. So now we're going to hear more of our completed salvation. Hallelujah. From Elder William Liverman. Amen. And regarding the mystery which was revealed to the Apostle Paul to deliver to the grace church, which is Christ's body. Let's receive the gospel of the grace of God from Elder William Liverman, and with a hearty amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Thank Let's, as we prepare our hearts to pray, as we prepare our hearts to come into the presence of the Lord one more time. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness, kindness, and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together one more time where we can just magnify Christ, everything that you did for us in eternity. Oh God, we can, words can never explain, words can never convey our appreciation to what you did for us. Not about us, it's all about Christ. But thank God for the opportunity each time we come at our church, or at our home, our jobs. Let us always have an appreciative heart for what you did for us in eternity. Breathe upon this service, Father. Breathe upon everyone here, even those that are on their way, Father. And Father, right now, I thank you for allowing me to preach and teach the message today, Father. It's not popular, but thank God we can truly. Everything that's popular is not always right. And everything that's right is not always popular. But thank God, let us enjoy it in the essence of what you said. Because everything is according to God. And we thank you, Lord, for energizing your people. Bring enlightenment via the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your goodness, kindness, and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. But church, amen.
Praise God.
What? Y'all pray for me today because the message today is not popular. The message today is not popular. And, you know, even in the old, in corroborating the Old Testament, I thought about something. In the Old Testament, when God gave the law to Moses, again, you're talking about a lesser covenant. We're not all, the whole Bible is true. The whole Bible is God's word. But we just have more information on our in our gospel. When, in essence, the essence of the message of the law was turned from idol worship and turn to the law that God gave to Moses. And you know, for that, for the prophets that preached that, many got stoned, died for preaching the law. And let's move on the kingdom. No one could keep the law. So in essence, the gospel of the kingdom, that message of the kingdom message is because no one could keep the law, turn from the law and turn to Christ. And many got killed for that. Now, if they're going to persecute you for preaching a lesser covenant, what are you going to get today when we have more light in terms of everything is already actualized by God's decree? But thank God, we walk by faith. We are not intimidated by religious systems. We're just walking according to what God said for us. Now, we're going to the methodology of Scripture. We're going to call the text. Amen. This scripture that's caused so much confusion in the body of Christ today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Now, here's the problem. Now, we're going to keep this in context. I want you to read. Why don't you read? Let's go and read verse 1 through 2 Timothy chapter 2, read the whole verse 1 through 12. But what we want you to do, we're going to exegete verse 12. Because this is the problem. If without biblical exegesis, it's no way you're going to understand verse 12. Come on, church. It's no way. You just make up stuff. So what we're going to do, we're going to call the scripture. We're going to exegete verse 12, and then the document. By the way, the document here that Pastor Cutler, our pastor, wrote some time ago, everyone should have the, now, this is a three-page document So the next 3 weeks, the next time I'm up, today we're going to cover page one, the help of the Lord, and the next two times I'm up, we'll cover page two and three. So you should, Brother Randall would pass, the, we're looking at the first page, you should have eternal truth, security in Christ. That's the one you'll be going to cover today. But before we explicate, see, the document you have in your hand, this is the explication. Before we get into that document, it's going to be a very long introduction, and we're not in a rush. See, that's a problem for the past 2,000 years. Many of God's people have been rushing, and many of them haven't learned much because they're going too fast. So just take your time. Amen. We're not in a rush. Deacon Gavin, you may begin. Read 1 through 11 in the King James, since most people have the King James translation. But I want you to read verse 12. When you get to verse 12, read that in the Greek, because verse 12 is the one we're going to exegete. Okay. And I'm not going to make any comments. I'll let you read for the sake of time.
We're reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
Yes.
First, from the King James Version. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
Mm-hmm.
Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel,
mm-hmm.
wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake,
mm-hmm.
that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him.
Now, at this point, church, Deacon Gavin is going to read verse 12 in the interlinear Greek.
First, from the King James Version.
Yes.
If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us.
Oh, Lord. Go ahead, in the Greek.
Now, verse 12, 2 Timothy 2:12, from the interlinear Greek text. If we endure, also we shall reign with.
Mm-hmm.
If we shall deny, that one also will deny us.
See, even in the Greek, now Deacon Gavin has read the interlinear Greek without going into this deeper, church. If you just read this based upon what was conveyed, based upon, we call it surface reading. In other words, you take, I said, because as an English teacher, you know, a lot of times, you know, English students, you have a narrative where they are to read maybe an essay, and all of a sudden they just read the surface and not depend upon how the verbs and the adverbs and the nouns are used. If you just read the surface, you're going to miss the main point. And here, it would appear that Paul is saying, well, if you deny the Lord, he's going to deny you. First of all, the first question we should ask, is this consistent in our contract? Is it consistent that if you, it's like if you deny, God is going to react to you. In essence, that's what's conveyed. You it's like you mess up, God's going to cast you out. Now, I got excited reading the Pastor Penn this morning because everything in the matrix is just manifestation. And if you look in the matrix and all these crazy things in the matrix, if you base your salvation on that, you will be upset. Because number one is this consistent with the grace covenant? But one way to just not that dead in terms of consistency is that number one, in the grace covenant church, there are no conditions.
None.
There are no conditions. You are saved in eternity. That's it. But somebody said, wait a minute, it says here, if you deny the Lord, so what happens? People that read this and they make up stuff. Oh, you know, brothers, he's upset. I'm upset, I'm going up to hell. Why you brother? You know, he'll say, well, you know, I've been messing around with Sue and messing around with Sue and Sue, and I'm messing, the Lord's mad with him. First of all, is that wrong? Yes, it is. You stay with your own wife or your own husband. But if the flesh messes up in that direction, you say, Lord, by the grace of God, help me, Lord, and move on in faith. There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Whatever is in your course, you walk by faith, but whatever manifests in his flesh, whether it's a bad temper. Hello, church. Some days you don't think the thoughts you should. No one's going to imitate Christ in every component of their life all the time. Just be honest, church. But the manifestation in that matrix has nothing to do with your actualized decree in terms of you saved. You were saved in eternity. Having said that, and by the way, we're not magnifying the weaknesses of the flesh. The flesh is weak. It's a fact. But thank God, what God did for us is, in essence, goes beyond these crazy things that we experience on a daily basis. Let's look at the exegesis in verse 12. Now we're going to go, before we go into this document, Deacon Gavin, read that one more time, because we're not in a hurry again. One more time in the Greek, verse 12.
Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 from the interlinear Greek text. If we endure, also we shall reign with. If we shall deny, that one also will deny us.
Now, church, just bear with me. We're going to further this exegesis. Now, in verse 12, what is verse 12 really saying? It basically states, if we shall deny him, he also will deny us. That's what there's on the surface reading, but let's look into this deeper. Again, this statement is not espousing the conditional aspect of one's action precedent to one's association with God, as it would consign the Creator to a role responding to whatever the creature does. God is not responding. In this light, those whom God will manifestly deny have not been determined as a consequence of them denying him. God's denials of them are the results of the fact that they were never chosen and elected and were thus denied in eternity by him. So the denial is for the non-elect who were never chosen. So don't put... God has the elect and the non-elect. Now, the Greek word render, if we shall deny him, is construed by some as a condition of future. That in the manifested future, the conditions of someone denying him forms the basis upon which certain results will follow. Of course, it could never be the case of the elect. Note, church, the Greek verb render deny. Now, here's a key. That word deny is in the indicative mood. What's the indicative mood? It's a fact. Future tense and middle voice. Now, there are two components here. Number one, factuality and futurity of the actions of those disclaiming, disowning, and renouncing him. And number two, that the middle voice of the verb consigns this designation not to the elect, but to those outside of Christ who do not know him. Let's start. See, church, what's happening when it says we deny him, he'll deny us. The elect, the non-elect will deny Christ in time because they were denied in eternity. But here's the key. We don't know who they are. So don't you look at someone who go out here and don't you go to Jackson prison and put all the brothers and sisters in. Now, I don't know whether like women in Jackson, I don't know. But don't put everybody in Jackson where they messed up because they all going to hell. But somebody said they messed up. But what have you done over the years? Amen. Amen. I ain't killed nobody. But how many people have you killed with your tongue? Hello, church. Come on now. Come on. See, well, we say that's worse. So now you're saying all unrighteousness is sin. See, we like to categorize unrighteousness. Oh, you know, I went to work today and I paid my tithes and this and that. I went to work overtime and I had a pretty good day. And you forgot the time that someone cut in front of you and you just blessed them out. Hello, church. You forgot the time that your wife came home and you were so mad, like, why the food done? Well, why am I going this direction? See, there's no such thing as a little sin. In the eyes of God, you cheat on your taxes. You pull a trick and kill somebody. Somebody say, wait, one's worse. Wait, says who? All unrighteousness is sin, church. But we have to understand that God saved you in spite of everything he knew you would do. He saved you anyway, in eternity. Let somebody say, I messed up today, as if God didn't know. But thank God, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, let's further exegesis. The latter Greek phrase rendered, he also would deny us, as it is structured in the verse. The key to understanding this context entails comprehending the usage of the Greek adverb, which is frequently rendered also, as it is comprised of the conjunction, but also and even or and also, which is a demonstrative adjective rendered that he. Here we observe the nominative case. Now, what's the nominative case? We know it. The subject. Inferring the subject of the controlling word in the context. Thus, obviously, he would deny those whom he has not foreknown. I'm going to repeat. You see that? God will deny those whom he never knew. But God cannot deny the elect, you church, who he knew in eternity. But somebody said, you talk like once saved, always saved. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yes. How can he deny his elect? The problem that men in the body of Christ, our problem, is that we focus on the crazy things that manifest in the matrix. Anger, temper, judgments, all of the things. Not the fact that we were saved and chosen before the foundation of the world. Not on the fact that you are righteous, not because of what you've done. You are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Not the fact that you are separated in eternity, separated for the good cause, purposes of God. All the blessings of God. We were blessed with every spiritual blessings. And where is the locale of these blessings? In the heavens in Christ. In him we live and we move and are. Who are we? In Christ. So the problem is that we have our eyes on the wrong thing. We should have that X-ray vision like Superman Clark Kent. He would go to the booth and change the Superman. You know the story for the older ones here. He would put an X-ray vision and he would look beyond the walls and all the obstruction. And the X-ray vision would be focused on the real deal. He would look beyond the walls and the bricks, and all of a sudden he would see the bed, the crooks, and he would see the X-ray vision would allow him to focus on what the situation was. So our X-ray vision should be the volume of truth, the mystery, the volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. That should be our X-ray vision, that look beyond the crazy things that pop up in the matrix. Look at what the real is. Amen. Let's say, Lord, help my vision to see who, what you did for me. So in other words, God cannot deny those whom he foreknew. In spite of your mess up, church, there's no condemnation in Christ. But somebody say, I'm doing wrong. Well, amen. Pray and do right according to God's purpose. Stop beating yourself up. Amen. Can you imagine? Men of God's people have 1,000-pound weight on their shoulder and trying to get all this guilt and things, knowing that you were liberated in eternity.
Hallelujah.
Enjoy your salvation.
Hallelujah.
You know, we're not going to be here long. I don't care if God gives you 80 years, 90. Enjoy what God did for you, church. So in this light, Paul's conveyance is that if we are, amen, his people, he will not deny us whom he foreknew. Thus, we cannot deny him who he has, hallelujah, who he has caused us to know him. As stated earlier, the conjunction if serves as a subordinate function that expresses the stipulation of distinguishing the difference between those who are his and who are not his. See, that's the whole, it's the elect and the non-elect church. Accordingly, it appears that Paul is not expressing a conditional future, but a factual future.
Amen.
What's that? Paul is not expressing a conditional future. You know, that's scary. A conditional future, well, if I do this, God's going to do that. Uh-uh. See, that's the language of the law. But in grace, God's already done everything. The factual conveyance is born out of the terse statement of 2 Timothy 2:13, the Greek text. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
All right.
Thus, regardless of believers' failure to fully exercise their faith that has been gifted to them, it does not deter the purpose and the will of the Lord.
No.
See here, what happened? People, they pulled verse 12 out the Bible. Pastor, they pulled that out. Deacon Gavin, Ellen Nicholson. And not looking at verse 13. Verse 13 is embedded in verse 12. Deacon, read 13, please, in the Greek. Verse 13.
Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, from the interlinear Greek text. If we disbelieve, that one faithful remains.
Do y'all see? Somebody said, but I don't believe. Who believes all the time? You may not believe, but Christ always believes because he's Christ. He's God.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at this, I'm sorry, do you read it?
That one, if we disbelieve, that one faithful remains. To deny for himself, he cannot.
He cannot. Now let's read. I'm gonna read this last statement. Then we'll go into we're gonna move right into the document. See, he remains faithful. Rendered remains is in the indicative mood, present tense, active voice, denoting the fact that he, Christ, remains faithful, trustworthy, and reliable. This statement clarifies who alone is faithful, trustworthy, and can be counted on to effectuate and preserve the elect's glorification. That what comfort to know that in spite of what even regenerated humans may or may not do, God remains faithful. The modus and basis for the faithfulness of Christ and thus the security of eternal glorification is that rendered he cannot deny himself, because if Christ denied himself, God would be destroyed, and that's impossible. So he cannot, it's impossible for God to deny himself, church, because he's God.
Amen.
If he will not deny himself, he will not deny you. He cannot deny you because you belong to him. He's the head, you're the body, we are members in the body of Christ. How can God deny those that are part of him?
Hallelujah.
And we are part of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I don't know, but this is showing, church, you should be excited.
Yes.
Amen. This is better than anything. This is better than Steph Curry hitting those three-pointers.
Yes.
Amen. Better than Cabrera hitting those home runs.
Yes.
Better than Bill Gates, what, billions of dollars.
Yes.
It's better than all those things. Why? Because those things can change. But I thought about this. 2,000 years ago, The Apostle Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God, that's what God gave to him. All the crazy things that's happened the past 2,000 years, has justification gone anywhere? Come on, church. Has sanctification gone anywhere? Has your salvation gone anywhere? It's still here. Amen. Now, God's attributes are such that he is faithful, and for him to deny or disown these characteristics would be to deny the fact that he is God. It is in this light only that one can rest in the factuality of glorification with him as actualized by his decree in eternity. Goes back to eternity, not manifestation in time. And we're going to corroborate something later on in the kingdom gospel that people have misconstrued because you have to take salvation out of time. Now, okay, long introduction. Let's go to the document. Long introduction. Eternal security. And I know this is not a jumping up and down message, but here's the problem. God's people, it's time for God's people to what? Be taught. Hello, church. It's okay to jump up and down, but understand what you're jumping up and down for. See, don't be like the sisters you met in the church, and Lord, almost disrupting the service, jumping up and down and just want everybody to see, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So when she was after service, she walked to the parking lot, so someone, they just knew that this sister had a revelation. She had a light from heaven. Say, sister, what did he preach about today? You were doing all the jumping up and down. I don't know, but it sounded good. No, you want to be taught, church. Just jumping up and down. It's okay. If the fact that the Lord give you that light, oh, I was saved in eternity, and if you want to kick a step, amen. But understand what you're shouting about. Now here, she was shouting for a whole hour, sweating, doing all this, all sweating, doing everything, and didn't know what the preacher was saying. Hallelujah, help us, Lord. All right, first paragraph. Everyone, the document. Regardless of all the doctrine. Now, what we did, we called the text. Deacon, didn't we? We called the text. We just exegeted verse 12. And now we're going to do explication. We're going to explain what we exegeted. And that's what you're going to read, what's in front of you right now, this document that, again, Pastor wrote. Regardless of all the doctrine positions about the possibility of a person falling away and losing salvation, there is a place of security in Christ. Hallelujah. Although one can and often does manifestly fail and rebel and sin, Christ can't nor will ever fail. Lead his elect astray. Lead forsake. Nor do wrong by them in any way. Hallelujah. His promises are true, as he will always be faithful to each of them. His love is unconditional, and his promises are secured, and never based upon faithfulness other than his own. There is absolute surety in knowing that he is and always will be faithful to his committed purpose. Thus, the only dependence in the gospel of grace is the faithfulness of God to his oath and promise. Stop. See, what happened? Our gospel gives you everything in completion. Yes. Now, if you're going to go over there on those other covenants, you have things, in process popping up in the things in the matrix, and you're trying to make summations without going into our covenant for more information. Repeat after me. If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you'll be confused. Dwell in the area where you have more information. Next paragraph. In human relationships, a man and a woman are married and build their relationship and trust through their faithfulness to one another. If one becomes unfaithful, the other will not be able to trust the unfaithfulness one, as the breach of trust has proven such one to be unreliable. As a matter of fact, such unfaithfulness in many instances results in forfeiture of the relationship. The elect continually are unfaithful to Christ as the flesh functions in the betrayal of sin yet he is always there for them and remains faithful to them, even while they are having spiritual adulterous affairs. Men of God's people commit spiritual adultery. Somebody said, what are you talking about? I've been married 50 years. I've never done that story. Wait a minute. It may not manifest that way, but everyone has committed spiritual adultery at one point or another. But God's faithfulness is still there, church. We are weak. We are just weak. And the strength that manifests in your life in certain areas, you can't take credit for that.
Hallelujah.
It's God just breathed on you according to purpose to overcome that situation. Because you may overcome a situation on, let's say, January the 1st, 2016. Maybe what? Just a few weeks ago, right? You just glory, hallelujah, this happened. Look what happened. You can't take credit for that. Because in God's eternal workings, he can put the same situation in your path 4 months later, and you fall flat on your face. Somebody say, why is it that this time I overcame, this time I failed? According to God. If you overcame, according to God. If you failed, according to God. Many times God will allow us to fall flat on our face to realize that, what, without him, we can do nothing.
Nothing.
See, it's one thing about depravity. I just see these politicians. Oh, we can build the wall. We can do this. We can do that. They can only do what God has decreed them to do. So don't be all uptight about, quote, the politicians. They're doing what they were purposed and called to do. Amen. And that's one thing we mentioned in men's fellowship yesterday. The thing that came, that was embedded in that fellowship yesterday, is that who's in control? If you are worried about anything, I ask you, who's in control? God doesn't control some things. He controls what? All things. Next paragraph. In human relationships, a man and woman, I'm sorry, third paragraph. Hence, security in Christ is completely tied to the fact that the salvation of God's elect was actualized by his decree in the eternal realm, which renders manifestations of the default of it to be impossible. Jesus can never be viewed as unfaithful in the apportionment of his blessings of salvation, and his chosen and designated ones can never be cut off from him through acts of their sinful nature. Knowledge of the eternal workings of God serves as the impetus for clinging to his promises that were intended for designated ones. But this knowledge resides in the revelation of the mystery as revealed to the Apostle Paul, as there does not abide the clarity of this information in the volumes of writings outside of his epistles. A vivid example of this is viewed through what Jesus said in Matthew 10:33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. When this is taken strictly in the vein of what is known in the new covenant, one's relationship and security to Christ are based upon one's faithfulness to him. Hallelujah. Here, it is construed that God will never be unfaithful, but will reject those who commit spiritual adultery, as he cannot bless evil hearts unless or until they turn to him through repentance and then remain faithful. See, stay out of those covenants for doctrine, church. Such is viewed in light of the limited knowledge that is associated with this conception that one must make choices which God responds to. However, when the light of the grace covenant is viewed, it clearly evinces that all things were predetermined and actualized in the eternal realm. Those not embracing this truth erroneously link passages of Paul's writings to the language of the other covenants. Unfortunately, 2 Timothy 2:12 is misconstrued in that manner, and it's most regrettable that some will focus on this verse and what it may seem to be implying to them without considering the actual contents of the passage. Now, I realize that you don't have the other part. We're going to cover the other part, the document, the second page next in 2 weeks. But we're going to corroborate something in the Kingdom Gospel for you to see, church. Number one, even in the Kingdom Gospel, where you have less information, even in the kingdom gospel, those the elect of God have always been secure. Even in the law, all the mess-ups they did, all the mistakes, they were always secure. I look at an example of grace, and I look at David. I just love David's life. And here, he was a man that God calls to love him. It was nothing David did. But even in spite of his mess-ups and his weaknesses, he was still a man after God's own heart. Because God controls all things. But somebody said, David, he messed up with Bathsheba. Did he mess up? Well, manifestation-wise, yeah. But according to God's purpose, it was right on. Because, what do you mean it was according to God's purpose? He messed up with Bathsheba? Wait. Yes, he did. But in the workings of God, who was born through that union? Son named Solomon. God controls all things, church. See, we look at things as through this sequential testimony depictions. We see things that pop up in the matrix, and all of a sudden we try to make summations. Oh, I lost my money in the bank. What happened? There's a purpose. God blew on that. What do you mean God blew on that? The devil took it. Now you have the devil creating things. Oh, God, I got a pink slip. What happened? God blew on that job, and you got a pink slip. What do you mean the devil stole it? Wait, see, now you got the devil creating things. Oh, I went out there and I slipped and I broke my arm. God blew on that. And we don't have time to go to that scripture, but all things, the measurements in the matrix, what drives that is purpose. And you're not going to understand. Who can understand the mind of God? Who can? Who is God but God? So let's corroborate something. We'll close. Do not go in these other covenants, because you see people messing up, you'll say, oh, they went to hell. They didn't make it. If God based our walk on who's going to make it, first of all, if you are saved, you have already made it. So rest in the Lord. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to corroborate something before we close. Let's go to the kingdom gospel. Let's go to the book of Luke. Now, we're going to look at Luke chapter 22. The church is just for a little historical fact. What we're going to look now, this was a low point in Peter's life. Low point meaning Jesus, the promised Messiah. They were looking for a kingdom that was in their mind was about to come. But the opposite happened. They saw their Savior being beaten, crucified. And it was a low point in Peter's life. How many of you, if I ask a show of hands, how many of you have had low points? We can all probably raise our hand. Amen. We've all been there, church. Amen. Had low points. Some of you are going through some low points right now. That's just the way life works. But in the low points of life, we still walk by faith and not by sight. So let's go to Luke 22. Deacon Gavin, I want you to read 34. We're going to corroborate this, and then Luke 22, verse 34. Now, this is historically, Jesus is about to be crucified. Now, looking at verse 34, the things that Peter is going through at this point, Jesus makes a statement regarding what Peter's going to do in the immediate future. Deacon Gavin, read it, please. 34.
I'm reading from the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 34. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me.
Jesus told Peter that he's going to deny him. Isn't that word with this mission, deny? Peter, let's paraphrase. Jesus said, now, first of all, I believe in your Bible is probably in red. Jesus said what? Everything Jesus said, he's God. It has to come. In fact, in Sunday school, I keep saying Sunday school, with men's fellowship yesterday, these things what? Must be. Because they're decreed. Jesus tell Peter, you're going to deny me. Now, at this point, Deacon Gavin, go to verse 56. Move over to verse 56. But a certain maid. Mm-hmm. Yes, 56 through 62.
Now.
But a certain maid.
Now, Luke 22.
Yes.
Chapter 22, verse 56.
Yes.
But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not."
What? Peter denied Jesus. But somebody said, "Oh, Lord, Peter, did Peter make it in?" You know, these religious systems, right? Oh, he denied Jesus. Keep going deep.
Verse 58, and after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not."
Keep going.
And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Read verse 62 again.
And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Low point. Church, low point. In fact, you can write in your Bible. But one preacher said, if you don't have a Bible, you can write in. Just throw it away and get one you can write in. Throw it away. You should put that in parentheses. Low point. That was a low point. It's like he went away because Jesus told. See, everything that Jesus said, these things must be. Peter, you're going to deny me. So what's the characteristic of depravity? We mentioned that. I'm sorry, y'all forgive me, but I keep referring back to fellowship. Yes, that was so blessed. Self-preservation. Self-preservation is a characteristic of depravity. Peter said, I'm not going to deny him. Jesus said, you're going to deny me because what Jesus said is going to come to pass. He's God. That was the decree. Come to pass. Somebody said, look at him. He messed up. Let me say this. If someone that walk in this church right now, because everything is according to God, and I'm not a mind reader, but let's say this church, it could be in a church of 1,000 people, and someone point a gun at you and say, "All right, you all Jesus lovers, get on your floor, get on your knees." Then somebody says, suppose somebody come in here and say, "Get on your knees." And listen, and look, amen, I'm getting on my knees. See, we'll see the rest is up to God. Now, it's not a matter of you being afraid. Well, no, let's check that. It's human nature. We have emotions. If that happened, we'll say, "Lord, whatever happens according to God." Well, let's say a church of 1,000 people. There were some that God would cause to say, "Bless God, absent from the body, present with the Lord." They're going to what? That's their day. In their mind, the Lord's going to cause them to look above the things in the matrix, and they're going to say, "Absent from the, if this is my course in life, bring the bullets on." But now some, they'll say, "Okay, get ready." And some, I'm just making a fact, some say, "Wait a minute, I got to go to this job tomorrow." Whatever you mean to say, I'm going to say it. They're going to, whatever, deny the Lord. And when that happens, if that manifests in the matrix, the first thing people say, they'll say, "They went to hell. They didn't make it." Why? You're making judgments based upon what happens in the matrix. If you're reading that pastor's pen today, that these illusions, these manifestations, whatever goes down, look at the number of God's people over the years that have, quote, in their people's mind, they deny the Lord. And now you go over there in the Bible where it says they commit the unpardonable sin. You know you've been there. You go over that, you pull it out of verse, oh, they didn't make it in because they commit the unpardonable sin. First of all, in closing, our salvation is secure. Our salvation, church, is not based upon our day-by-day experiences. Our salvation is based upon a saying of God. Hebrews 11:3. Everything is according to a saying of God. And what God said, he can't change because he cannot deny himself. So relax. Relax in the Lord of your salvation. But I'm not sure about tomorrow. Well, you may not be sure in terms of what's going to pop up in the matrix, but one thing you should be sure of, the fact that you're saved in eternity. And the fact that come life, come death, whatever comes, you belong to Christ. In spite of everything that happens, everything is according to God. And with this information, we can just relax in the God of our salvation. But stay in the Bible. Stay there. Stay in the part of the Bible where you get the most information, which is the volume of truth. You can read the whole Bible. This whole Bible is good. It's God's word. But for our directives, in terms of this dispensation of grace, we should abide in that part, or say major, in that part of the Bible that reveals the mystery. And what is the mystery? It's the volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. And with this truth, we can rest in this fact that our salvation is secure. And every day we can show appreciation and thanks to the Lord that the Lord helped me to focus on the gospel of the grace of God, which is the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.